Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship in San Lorenzo, California. These podcasts are the weekly sermons of Dr. Michael L. Wilson.
This is the Advent of Joy. It is the third Sunday of Advent. We started with hope, then peace, then joy. Okay, I feel like a sneeze is coming, so if I sneeze, I'm sorry, but you know how that feeling is. And so this is joy, and when the angels came to the shepherds, they brought good news of great joy. And so we have to ask then, what is this joy that has been brought? A very simple definition is that it is spiritual happiness. Many people say that joy is not happiness because happiness is situational. You get a great Christmas present on Christmas morning and you're happy until you break it or you step on it or something, and then you're sad because your happiness was wrapped up in that gift or that relationship or that school or that whatever. If your happiness is on an earthly object, when that earthly object changes, your happiness will go away. Joy in the same way is situational, but it is based on God, and God never changes. And so if I am happy about God, if I am joyful about God, He won't break, He won't go away, He won't disappoint. God is always there. God is revealed fully and completely for our purposes in Scripture. We know what is going on, what is required of us. And so if we put our joy or happiness on God, then we can maintain that through most of the difficulties of life. Joy is the happiness that results from people realizing God has kept His promises. If we look at the shepherds, for example, the shepherds were raised in a Jewish culture. They were raised in a Jewish idea. They most likely had gone through the bar mitzvah process where they had to memorize great parts of the Old Testament, and they probably failed it, which is why they became shepherds, because they couldn't get into the rabbi school. However, they knew that a Messiah was coming. They didn't know what He looked like. They didn't know when. They didn't really know what He was going to do. The shepherds probably didn't know where He was going to be born. But they knew that there was promises, and it's throughout the Old Testament that God is going to send a deliverer, that God is going to send a Savior. And when God did, in the person of Jesus Christ and the angels and the heavenly hosts announced it to the shepherds, they said it is good news of great joy, because this promise of promises, this greatest of Old Testament promises, had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so what is Christian joy? What is joy for us? First, it is a fruit of the Spirit. You look in Galatians chapter 5, around verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and on. It is the second in the list. It doesn't mean that it is second in importance, but it does mean that if you're going to have God-centered happiness, God-centered joy, it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it starts, therefore, inside. If I see something I like, if we go and look at Christmas lights, and we see a fantastic display, I will be joyful, but it's focused externally. It is focused on a earthly thing. But if I have God-centered joy, it starts inside. And therefore, and this is the part that has always confused me, I can be sad and yet have God-centered joy. Because the way the Bible talks about joy, it does have a emotional component. You cannot walk around sullen and down and sad all the time and say, I have the joy of the Lord. If you're claiming to the world that you have the joy of the Lord, one would expect you to at least smile a little and to have an external aspect of it. And so the joy, even the joy, fruit of the Spirit, that is coming that way is incomplete in today's world. There are sad things that I think pushes joy to the back seat. But how quickly do we recover? We can have knowledge of God and still be knowledgeable in our salvation, but be sad about events that are happening, losing a loved one, having some financial tragedy or health announcement. We can be sad and still have a knowledge of God, but I think the emotional aspect of the joy tends to take a back seat. If, however, you are aware of what Christ did on the cross, if you are aware of God's love, if you are aware of what God did to you to save you and for you to save you, and you ponder that and reflect upon that from time to time, I believe you will experience the joy of the Lord. I believe you will experience a happiness about what God has done for you. If you truly understand the depths of sin that God pulled you out of to bring you into His presence and to apply Christ's blood to your sin, you cannot respond in any way except to be a little glad about that. When you're glad about that, when your spirits raise, when you think God is amazing, that is the joy of the Lord. But then the world gets in the way. And the world system today, which is invented by, run, and regularly updated by Satan, the world system, not the rock, not God's creation, but the system that Satan has created through his earthly rulers and through various selfish political movements, one of its main goals is to rob you of your joy. I don't think the world can do anything to rob me of my hope. My hope is future bound. My hope is all sourced in Jesus Christ. And it is my hope that gets me through most of what the world does to me. My peace can come when I focus on His Word, when I'm deep in prayer, when I shut out the world, I can feel the peace of God. And so the world is not very effective at destroying the first two gifts of Advent. But I think it is really built to get you to the point where you are no longer joyful. And one way it does that is advertising. Advertising is everywhere. Purpose of advertising is to get you to buy something. Now, if you bought a toaster last year, it's probably still working. However, Acme toaster manufacturers have a new model. And so they have to tell you that yours is obsolete, that you are missing the boat if you don't get the new toaster, that your toaster cannot clearly toast like the new model this year. And so the purpose of advertising is to make you dissatisfied, is to make you off balance or concerned about your well-being, because they're advertising some new drug, and that the people in that commercial are really happy when they take that drug. So I have to run out to my doctor and say, do I need this drug? And they'll say, what are you talking about? Because doctors know what they're doing. But the idea that in most computer websites, all TV, all radio, their purpose is to make you dissatisfied, is to make you concerned that you're not getting the best. And what this is called is FOMO, fear of missing out. This is a real thing. People at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram actually talk about this as something they want to instill in you. They want you to be, when you lay awake at night, you're really concerned that you're missing something important. You have a fear of missing out. And this is today what the world, at least in the West, is built on. This idea that I am missing out, that if I don't keep updated and get the latest thing and read this news story or that news story, I'm missing out on something important. But the great thing about our relationship with God is that we're not missing out on anything. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have your Bible and you read your Bible, you will realize you're not missing anything, that you're right where you should be, and that the world, through its advertising, is lying. Secondly, there is real, honest-to-goodness tragedy. Everybody here has experienced in some way a loss or a death of a loved one, a bad or a difficult medical announcement, an accident or something that caused a great financial burden. That is because the world is broken. Satan is not a builder of things, he is a breaker of things. And everything that the world produces, everything that sinful men and women produce in the factories is always incomplete, is always brokenness is built into it, because no sinful human can design a perfect thing. No sinful human can build a perfect thing. And so the idea that the world is going to bring happiness, you've got to basically be on an island all by yourself because people will disappoint you, and then maybe you can be joyful all the time. Because the world is against your joy. And when we look at Christian joy, then what do we focus on? What do we do? What do we do with this real evil and these catastrophes that happen to us? I think the Christian response to anything evil that happens to you is to bring, not in a condescending or flippant way, but you bring Christ in. I do a fair measure of funerals. And I did one, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was at Lone Tree Cemetery. And because the lady and all of her children that were there were saved, and they spoke of the faith of this woman, and they spoke of how this woman was so in love with Jesus, and how she, when she died, the Bible was right next to her. She had been reading her Bible up until the end. And so I can talk about this life as a life of great glory to God. And the joy can come because when a Christian dies, they truly are in a better place. It is not a trite saying. It is not trying to be sarcastic anyway. But they are, that this place compared to heaven, this place cannot hold a candle to heaven. And someday all who believe in Jesus Christ, either through death or rapture, will stand in the presence of God. And at that moment, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the joy of the Lord is. Because all of the stuff that comes against you, All of the stuff that blocks it, all of the stuff that messes with your emotions here will be gone. We will be able to see God as He is face to face. And in that moment, we will fully understand what we were and what God saved us out of. And I think everybody who is in heaven for all eternity will have a very basic attitude of joy that you can actually walk up to anybody and say, "How you doing?" And they truthfully can say, "I'm joyful." I think if anybody says that a lot here, they're missing the point, because this is not a joyful place. Life is a difficult place. But when Jesus had His disciples, and if you remember, there was a time when Jesus sent out 70 disciples, two by two, and they didn't take a cloak, and they didn't take a bag or a staff. They went and basically found people to stay with. And at the end, they came back, and they were very, very, very excited that even the demons responded to their commands. And Jesus said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." I do not focus on the things that are exciting or happy or entrancing or entertaining here. I don't put my joy in that. Moment by moment, day by day, I put my joy in the fact that there is a book called the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name is written in it. I didn't write it there. God wrote it there. And that is the focus. That is the point. That is the enabler of my joy, that whatever happens, I can react appropriately, but then I can be joyful that nothing that happens here is going to erase my name from heaven. Nothing that happens here is going to cause God to change His mind. Nothing that happens here is going to cause God to say, "Oops, I made a mistake." God writes your name, if you are a believer, in this book. And this book is eternal. And you got to beat up God to get to the book to change it. And nobody on earth is going to be able to do that. And so the walking in joy is what we need to do. And I am a fallen, broken, imperfect human. God saved me out of total sinful depravity. But He didn't fully sanctify me in the moment that I was saved. In other words, I still think sinfully. Every part of my body is affected by sin. So as many of you know, you will discover new aches and pains as you get older. The idea that my elbow hurts, but it didn't hurt 10 years ago, is a sign that my body is deteriorating by the sin that is in there. We seem to minimize the effects of sin on the physical world. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the world changed. And when God flooded the whole world and saved Noah, the effects of that on the world and the weather systems and all that we see today are still being recovered. The idea that I can live a fully sanctified life and the world will not affect me is a dream. But that's why you have nuns and monks who cloister themselves away on an island in Greece and never have any news or anything, and they just sing and read scripture all day long. And they say that is how they get holy, but I think they are missing the point of life, because if I need to help God, if I need to bring the message of God's love to the people, I can't lock myself in a room with a Bible and just study Scripture all day long. At some point, I have to go into the store, for example, and tell people. And so we pray that God will give us the joy. We pray that in these difficult situations, that when I am at my lowest, I pray that God will remind me of the joy of my salvation, that God will, in fact, inside, give me a little glimmer of joy that I can hold on to as I go through this day. And then we practice it. When you wake up and you're grumpy, I wake up sometimes and I'm grumpy. When you wake up and you're grumpy, you say, I'm not supposed to be grumpy. Grumpy is not a fruit of the Spirit. So I pray at that point and say, God, can you fix this? Can you turn it around? And sometimes He will show me what I am grumpy about, what negative things I have been thinking about. Sometimes He will just turn it around, and sometimes He will drive me to Scripture or to prayer, and that will turn it around. And so we ponder the things of God. Think about your salvation. Ponder your salvation. Ponder what you would be like today if God did not save you. Where would you be? What would you look like? Kind of take your early years and extrapolate them. And that should, for most people, give us to the point of saying, wow, thank you, God, that I am alive today because you saved me, because I would have been involved in this gang activity or these activities, and I would have died a very young age. And then when we feel that spark of joy, we can actually focus on it, and from that allow God to grow it. And we need to read our Bibles regularly. We need to come to church regularly. And we need to come to Bible studies regularly. We need to be amongst the people of God, because if we all come and we all have a really tiny spark of joy, then perhaps if we get together and we sing Christmas songs, we sing praise and worship songs, perhaps the joy will grow. And some have said that when you are in church with the people of God, that is when you will experience the joy of the Lord the most. And if that is true, then people would come back and do it. And I think some people focus on the wrong things in church. But if you're focusing in the right things in church, on God and Jesus Christ and the cross, then this hour and 15 minutes will be the most joyful time of your week. So that every Friday or Saturday, you're beginning to think that I got to get ready because I'm going for my time of joy. And then you tell people about it. One purpose of the joy is that while the world is angry and divided and divisive, Christians have a peace and a hope and a joy because we have a secret compared to the world. And so we tell people about it, and in your bulletins you have little cards that look like this. You should have five of them. What's your mission? Is to take these five cards and give them to five people. And all it is doing is it is inviting people to church on December 23rd. December 23rd is our Christmas service, because Christmas is on a Tuesday this year. So we're doing it on the 23rd because that's a Sunday. And we're doing a Christmas choir, we're doing Christmas carols, we're doing a lot of reading of the Christmas story, and we're focusing on the first Christmas during that time. It is a very good time of celebration of what Jesus did. And so your job, this is the 9th today, 23rd is, oh, way far away. You need to give away your five cards and give them to this person who bags your groceries, give them to your neighbor. You can do all sorts of things with these cards. Now, I will warn you, When you do this, you are entering enemy territory. You are entering into a place that Satan does not like. When I speak of how my joy is robbed because I get focused on the task at hand. I get focused on doing things and getting things done. And in doing that, my eyes are off of the cross and on whatever the task is. And so I was going to hand these things out on Saturday while the women were doing their secret sister thing. And so I came to church on Friday and somebody had dumped a bunch of stucco mud into our parking lot. And because of that, it had to be cleaned up because, as you may have noticed, we have new carpet. And I don't want you tracking stucco mud all over our new carpet. So it had to be cleaned up, and it was wide, and it was about, I don't know, 2-3 inches thick. It was a mess. And so Saturday, when I was going to hand these out, Mike and I came, Mike Overton, and we one had the hose and one had the broom, and we broke it all down and put it down and pushed it out into the nowhere land so that you don't track it in. And as you can see, there's still some remnants. We didn't get it all. But it's things like that. God inspired that person, not God, Satan. Satan inspired that person. I am absolutely sure of it, to say, hey, go dump it in the church parking lot. They won't care. And so it is things like that that come against the people of this church that we can say, oh, well, it just happened. No, I think everything happens with a purpose, and the purpose of that was to get me so distracted, exhausted, and muddy that I wouldn't go knocking on doors. But when we were all done, I took a handful of these and I invited everybody on Rhonda there, knocked on every door, and I knocked on every house door on Tracy. And I invited everybody. And a lot of people weren't home. Everybody that was home was very cordial. One person said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. They live in that blue house right over there. And I said, well, you come to my house all the time inviting me to your church. I'm coming to your house to invite you to my church. But she wouldn't take the card. And then one lady just said she wasn't interested. And so we need to pray for that. But most people were cordial and nice. And I was able to talk about the church. Everybody basically who's within a 3 or 4 minute walk of this church is going to get one of these cards before the 23rd, and so you can do it in your neighborhood, you can do it where you live. Just realize you are doing something that Satan is not very happy about. And you need to say, I don't care, because it's a good thing to get people. There's a lot, and I mean a lot, of people in San Lorenzo who consider themselves Christian, but do not go to church. And so if nothing else, they are missing the joy and the peace and the hope that we talk about in church. You cannot figure out the Christian life by yourself. It is supposed to be lived out in community. That is what Scripture says. It is a sin to say, I do not need church, I will never go. God, that does not cause God to smile upon you. And so, hopefully, a lot of these people will be people who are perhaps raised in a Christian home, but have been away from church. And so when we talk about sin, and we talk about joy, and how we can get joy going in this world, we need to go to Philippians 2, 2 through 4. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, complete my joy, or make the joy of the Lord come out. By being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. In other words, we all think about God the same way. We are all on the same team concerning God. We are not all here with different agendas. There's no divisiveness in the church. Christ is everybody's focus. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And I think if we do this, if we live that way, at least in church, with church functions and church people, we will elevate the joy of the Lord in our hearts and in this church, because there will be nothing to knock it down. When you come here on Sunday, you will know that you are with family. You are with like-minded people who all have different ideas about politics or different ideas about ice cream or different ideas about food. We all drive different cars. But about God, about Jesus Christ, about the cross, we're all on the same page. And so we can come and we can focus on that, and we can show the joy of the Lord. Because when Jesus Christ was born, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. And that is the good news that we hold, and that is the great joy that we have to give it. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I thank you that you will just give us joy in the most unexpected times, that you will allow us to focus not on the garbage of the world, not on the troubles and the cares and the FOMO of the world, but on you, so that whatever we do, wherever we stand, we can have a little spark of joy. And when we focus on that, perhaps you will grow it, and we can have an actual joyful time when we're at church, when we're at home, when we're in the Bible, when we're taking time to pray, when we're doing the various things we do. I pray that you would give us a sense of joy. We thank you for sending your son as a little baby to be born in a manger. And we ask all these things through the blood of Christ. We ask all these things to your greater glory. Amen.
Cornerstone Fellowship is located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:45 a.m. Our website is livingfreetoday.org, and our phone number is 510-278-2622. May God continue to bless you as you serve your King. God bless.